The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Dave Pasch is going to jump on board today. We've not talked with Dave in quite some time, and he is a busy, busy man. Nice enough to accommodate us to talk about some broadcast stuff, of course, Dave, with ABC and ESPN, and has his own podcast, Dave Pasch Podcast, The Voice of the Arizona Cardinals. So we are going to chop it up with Dave Pasch coming up here in a bit. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Went to the Suns game last night. Long playoff in front of us. And felt like the moments before the game, I went down on the floor. I like to get to games early. I like to get to games a couple hours ahead of time. Just visit with people. Just chop it up. And I went over to Al McCoy, sat there with him for a couple moments. And Tim Kempton was down talking to the Pelicans announcers. So I sat in Tim's seat and we just chopped it up about what to expect and all that. And that was pretty prophetic with how the game would go in certain moments and certain stages. There's concern, obviously, that the officials aren't going to give enough credit or credence or whatever term you want to use to the Suns and their capabilities, even though they're the number one overall seed. I thought what Chris Paul did last night in the fourth quarter, where he accounted for 23 of the 30 points, would go down in my mind as one of the great playoff postseason performances that I've seen in a stretch. It wasn't a complete game. I mean, his numbers were very impressive, but it wasn't even the 17 points in a five-minute stretch that Chris Paul did last night. It was just simply both ends of the floor, and it was him yelling over Willie Green, "You guys got to do this, you got to do that." It was just fun. It was just fun. It was like, yeah, I'm toying with you. I was in Golden State when Charles Barkley, the Suns at Golden State in 1994, Charles scored 56. I turned over to Kevin McCabe. He was at Channel 10 at the time. And I said, I got him at 49, I think it was. And Kevin, I think, had him at 52 or whatever. And we put a dollar down. We were just having fun. I think Bruce Cooper was part of that little group and was up in the Bay Area. And so we really enjoyed ourselves in that. And I was thinking back to that moment last night. If Steve Nash put up the night like he did against the Dallas Mavericks in today's, where Nash went crazy, this was like 06, in today's social media world, it would be the talk. Last summer when Devin Booker had his big night against Milwaukee, yeah, it was very impressive. Just talking postseason, and in the case of Chris Paul, a stretch. Chris Paul is now one of five NBA players to have 10 playoff games of 30 points and 10 assists. That's like what Michael Jordan is part of that group. So is LeBron James and Chris Paul. And so while everybody makes a big deal out of Devin Booker, and rightly so, to see what was going on last night out of Chris Paul, I mean, it was something else. He turns 37 in 3 weeks, and he's just out there destroying. When the conversation about current NBA player, future NBA head coach, and I've seen surveys, the NBA does a survey among general managers, which current player will be the next head coach, Chris Paul is always at the top of the list. He is. And I saw it last night where he's barking over to Willie Green, "You guys can't do this to me." And so, you know, there were some things like the Pels hung in there. It was just awful in the first. I wouldn't say that it was all great Suns defense or awful Pelican shooting in the first quarter. There were some open looks that New Orleans had that just didn't fall. Paint chippers, glass breakers, I like to say. They had some looks. And you got to give Willie Green credit on how he's just coaching up that team and having them play so hard. Got a big man in Valasciunas who had 25 boards. Can't have that if you're the Suns. And yet they, you know, they get an 11-point victory. And yes, they should take care of business, but I think this is going to be a bit more difficult of a playoff series. They may even sweep them, okay? But I don't think that this is just a bump in the road. This is a physical team, and it's a team that's hungry. It's a team that's young. It's like, you know what? We'll get after you. Do I feel like the Suns tomorrow night are going to come out and roll New Orleans now that they know what they're all about? You know, I don't. I don't see a 35-point victory. And maybe that's good that I feel this way because they'll win by 35. I don't know, but just watching them last night, the arena, the atmosphere was, okay, we're ready for a long slog. There was a lot of environment outside the arena. Remember last year when I'm in Milwaukee and you guys would watch the games and they had the deer farm or whatever they called it where all the fans could gather down at the arena, but they couldn't get into the arena, okay? Suns tried that last night. They have a little, I'm going to put on my social a little bit later. I shot some of it. It's just a spot where there's food trucks. It's on the southeast corner of the arena. And it looked like it's just a place where fans could go that can't get into the game because the game sold out. And that maybe the Suns are trying to do something like this where people like yourselves who say, you know what, I'll take the rail down. I'll go over here. They had the radio broadcast on. It wasn't TNT. It was Al McCoy and Tim Kempton. And they had screens everywhere. They had tables. Fans were having their beer. Fans were having their nachos. Fans were having their food. It smelled great. But I don't think they were allowed in. And so it was interesting to see that pop up last night. I mean, most everybody expects the Suns to just roll through this, as they should, as the best team in the NBA. But I'm just saying to you that Willie Green's squad has no fear. They have none. The stories today, a couple stories today have already happened. So anyways, game two is tomorrow night. Christian Koloko, U of A, turned pro this morning. He's going to go into the NBA draft. So the Wildcats lose Ben Mathurin and Christian Koloko, and they will simply reload. They will simply retool. They will simply go out and find people. That's where Tommy Lloyd is now with his program. So while on one hand, you know, you hope Koloko left at the right time. Could he have used another year of college? Most players could. But that's two guys now that have said, I'm out. I'm heading on to the NBA. And thank you very much, Tucson. I'm not going to see my rearview mirror. Watching the Diamondbacks over the weekend, they scored 6 runs in a series. To say that they were punchless would probably be an understatement. It's a hard watch right now. And I'm getting to the point where, okay, I can see where I want Seth Beer to be over at first base. And I believe that Christian Walker's got to be one of those guys as the season progresses, ends up going to play for another team. I don't believe Christian Walker is the everyday first baseman or should be. You can put Beer right now as a DH. The other part of it is Carson Kelly is hitting, I don't know, 0.6. Okay, I think he's 060 now. Yesterday, he gets a very generous scoring play, in my opinion. The wind, it was his first hit of the year. He's playing, he's a designated hitter. The Goldschmidt trade is just awful. Dispute me on it. You can't. And when I see a guy like Carson Kelly, who looks the part. And then I think the Cardinals knew what they were doing when they said, you know, Yadier Molina has some tread left on the tire, and we can afford to part with Carson Kelly and bring Paul Goldschmidt here. You can't miss on those trades. They had any offense at all, I think they'd have a couple of more victories, but every day it's just a struggle. It's just like, come on, guys, find something. And yet I'm watching every day. I don't know about you. I'm watching every day. I'm intrigued by what they're about. Parker Navarro went to Desert Vista High School, threw for a boatload of yards, quarterback for the Thunder, his junior and senior years over at Desert Vista. He put up big numbers. Parker Navarro decided to go to the University of Central Florida the same time that Mikey Keene, the player of the year over at Chandler, decided to go to Central Florida. Parker Navarro got in a battle of numbers. Parker Navarro got injured in the spring game last week. Parker Navarro's dad confirmed to me this morning. He's put his name in the transfer portal. That's a quarterback that if you're Arizona State, do you at least look at and say, we don't have the quarterback in our room. If you've not seen the show much or at all, I am all about local quarterbacks playing over at ASU, and it never seems to happen. Now, Borgay is there now. Okay, there's one. But by and large, if you are a quarterback that is super, super talented, you're going to leave Arizona. And ASU is going to say, well, I can't find anybody, so I have to go out of state. And I don't know, butts in seats kind of equate to hometown kid makes good. Now, Parker Navarro may not have enough experience today. They may be looking for the redshirt junior, not a redshirt sophomore, or redshirt freshman in this case. But at the same time, it's worth picking up the phone and calling. Yesterday, Kyler Casper's top receiver in the state of Arizona, the class of 2023. Everybody and their brother wanted him. ASU didn't even finish among his final five. Wasn't even close. He went to Ohio State, checked him out. He went to Tennessee, checked him out. Yesterday, he commits to the Oregon Ducks. Once again, Oregon comes into Maricopa County and takes away one of the top players. And then, not only did he give them the commitment, he still had another year of high school to play. He reclassified. He said, I'm going to go to college now. So he's going in June. He's not even going to play this season on the high school level. 6'5". Super fast, super athletic, crazy athletic. And yet, hometown heroes in Tempe cannot find their way to even be in his final five. Oh, you're being so unfair. You're being so harsh. No, I can give you example after example after example after example. The best of the best don't stay here. Oh, it's too hot. Might be. But if you're supposedly all committed to getting things done here in the Valley, you can't just keep looking the other way and say, oh, why do we miss on, I don't know, one of the top receivers in the nation 2023? Why is it I'm already hearing that this quarterback over at Chandler, Dylan Raiola, who's the number one quarterback in the nation in the class of 2024, ASU is out of the picture already? So I can't do pitchforks and forks up and go Devils and all that nonsense when they keep getting their heads beat in by schools coming in here and taking away the top players. Can't do it. Dave Pasch is next on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, time to chop it up with Dave Pasch. We've been looking forward to this. He is a busy man with the NBA on ESPN and ABC, and nice enough on a Monday morning to take some time to just go through a busy sports calendar. If I were to ask you to recite where you've been in the last month, could you do it?
It actually, Brad, has not been that bad the last month. If you were to ask me this in November or February or March, it might be a little bit harder. But April, it finally starts to slow down where it's just NBA. So I feel somewhat unemployed because I'm only working like once a week right now. So it's not bad.
Do you miss flights often?
No. I mean, it's very rare. There's always every year there's a close call or there's some delays or cancellations that, you know, stress you out. But thankfully have not had, you know, anything this year where had to miss a game or, you know, couldn't get out of a particular city.
Closest you've come to missing a game?
Closest I've come to missing a game.
Or a start of a game.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a couple where I've gotten there about 90 minutes before. Mm-hmm. But there was a Cardinals game at Carolina probably 5 or 6 years ago where I remember doing – it was a 3:30 game the day before at Ohio State. And the next morning, there was no nonstop early in the morning from Columbus to Charlotte for a 1 o'clock kickoff. I think the earliest flight was like at 9:30 or 10, and it landed at 11. So I had to drive after the game in Columbus, like 2 hours, I can't remember what city it was, to take a 6 a.m. the next morning just to make sure I had enough time. Sorry if I'm boring you with the story. So I drive the 2 hours and get up in the morning to take the 6 a.m. flight. This flight gets delayed and it's delayed and it's delayed. And it finally takes off and I land. And the Cardinals were nice enough to help me get a police escort to the game because it was like 11:30 or 11:15 when I landed. And as I'm coming out of the doors of the airport and this unmarked police car comes flying into the airport to pick me up, I see two of my friends who had taken the flight from Columbus to Charlotte. They were they were already had already landed, and they were just outside the airport waiting for a ride, and they were looking at me like, what happened? So anyway, and I didn't have time to tell them, but that's probably as close as I've gotten. I think I got there, thankfully, with the escort. You know, it only took about 10 minutes, but you know, that close to game time, if you don't have any help, you're dead. Like if I wouldn't have had help, it would have taken me probably longer than 90 minutes to get to the stadium.
This is for the fans that wonder how the process works. You don't do your own travel, or do you do your own travel?
I mean, I do, but it's booked through, you know, like Disney Global Travel for, right, for ESPN. Yeah.
Right. So you pick up the phone or they call you. This is your assignment. This is where you're going to go. And you sit there and you stack it up. Okay, I've got a Big Ten game in Madison, Wisconsin, and I have to be in New Orleans the next day. You're sitting there looking at one way to go. There's another. You must love it when you get assigned an Arizona State or USC game and say, I am good, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, you know, they've been really good about trying to work with me over the years. It doesn't always line up perfectly where you've got, you know, easy travel. I remember doing the Maui Invitational. So obviously this is the same company. It's not going from ESPN to the Cardinals. This is ESPN college football, the ESPN college basketball. And it just depends on how things line up. Well, you know, normally probably the two crews for college football that would do the Saturday night game. And well, it was Arkansas at LSU. It wasn't a great game. It was the year LSU won the championship with Burrow. And so our crew got assigned the Saturday night game in Baton Rouge. Well, I had to get to Maui. So just imagine the next morning, because it was a night game, going from Baton Rouge to Maui. It wasn't easy. I mean, it felt like I had been traveling for about 3 days by the time I got there. And of course, you land and you're going to work with Bill Walton. So, you know, I land in Maui. I'm already delusional and, you know, have not slept great and been on a plane for 11 hours between the two flights, or maybe even longer than that, you know, and then I got to deal with Bill. So
if you do that and jump through all the hoops and then you get there and the game is not good, you find yourself saying, what the heck?
Yeah. All that
all the way here
this?
For a blowout.
Yeah. Yep. that's happened many a time.
That's good. Dave passed with us for a few minutes. All right. NBA playoffs. What are your early impressions after the first weekend?
Well, the Suns are still the team to beat. I think that's clear after watching them play yesterday. And I, you know, the one game that surprised me the most was the game that I did, Philly, Toronto. Not because Philly won, but how the game went. Toronto, all the things we thought they were going to do defensively against Joel Embiid, they didn't do. It was really surprising. And also the way Philadelphia played offensively. Now, can they do that again? Can the Sixers be consistent? That's been a problem for them the last couple of years. In terms of the other games, you know, Minnesota, maybe a little bit of a surprise just because Memphis was the second best team in the NBA. But you know, if you watch the play-in, you see how talented that Minnesota team is, how athletic they are. And so maybe I shouldn't be shocked by that. Other than that, really nothing. It's so early. These series are going to change. I'm sure people that have already said, okay, wow, based on that game, it's going to be a sweep. And then, you know, you get surprised and a series goes 6 or 7. I don't see the Phoenix series going very long. I don't think Milwaukee-Chicago will go very long either. I think the others depend on some health. You know, if Toronto doesn't get healthy, that could be over quickly.
Right.
But that's also a series that just based on, you know, this year and the Raptors and how good they were, you know, the second half of the season, you know, maybe they, you know, end up, you know, winning game two and then you have a longer series. I think it's clear that Brooklyn, Boston's going to be long. I still think Golden State, Denver will be long. I think, you know, Jokic will find a way. They'll win a couple games. I'm not sure how many of these will go 7, but I think you got, you know, several that'll go 6. And then, you know, it's possible that that Phoenix could sweep.
Dave Pasch with us for a few minutes. You can check him out, not just on ESPN and ABC, but also the Dave Pasch podcast. It is terrific content. Dave has reached into his book and has had lots of people, great names. You can check it out, the Dave Pasch podcast. When you deal with the Suns, and I don't know if you're just doing everything still virtually or if you have had some in person. Either way, when you just work on a Suns broadcast in preparation, who do you enjoy talking to that maybe the fans are like, I never knew this about this player or that player or that coach?
Well, all of our games have been in person, so that's been good. And our meetings have been in person. We don't do as many of the player meetings as we used to do. We used to do them almost every game. That has changed over the years, and in part, I think, because of COVID. And it's, and sometimes your production isn't there. That's one of the other things that's changed. Again, it's a little too inside baseball, but it's called a REMI, R-E-M-I, where basically the announcers are on site, but there's no truck. The production is being done out of Bristol or out of Charlotte, so you don't have a full crew. So it's a little bit harder to, you know, you still meet with each coach in about an hour and a half before tip-off, but you don't have the player meetings that you used to. I mean, I always enjoy talking to Monty. He's just, well, you know, as you can imagine, Brad, I mean, he's just so gracious with his time and his answers. And he's so, you know, one of the things that I told him this, we had a game. I worked a lot of games with Hubie Brown. Hubie is amazing. He's 88 years old. And, you know, you listen to Al McCoy and you hear the same thing. You hear somebody that sounds like they're, you know, my age in their late 40s. I mean, it's just, he's remarkable. And Al is the same. He just doesn't sound like they've skipped a beat at all. But you can imagine at age 88, it's not always easy to get around. There are just a couple conversations watching Hubie and Monty interact, the reverence that Monty has for Hubie and what he's meant to the NBA. And, you know, just a simple gesture of helping Hubie, you know, sit back down. I mean, just not that Hubie needs help, but just watching Monty and just his love and care. And I said that, I told him, we had a game, I think, in Miami early March. And I said, you know, I've always had so much respect for you, but just watching how you interact with Hubie, you know, it just warms my heart. And he just said, look, this is, you know, somebody that's meant so much to the game, and, you know, coaches wouldn't be what they are today without him. It's just, you know, he's just got such a great way about him, his character and integrity. And that's one of the reasons I always enjoy talking to Monty.
When you sit with him or any coach, you tilt your head on the X and O part, like, wow, I've been doing this a long time and I never thought of it this way, this getting over, under, through a high pick and roll, for instance, as the Pels were and the Suns were doing last night, but just some inside basketball where you're, well, I just feel like I was in the moment of learning from John Wooden or whomever.
Yeah, we don't get into a ton of that because I mean, there is obviously over the course of a broadcast, you're getting into some of those things, but you're usually hovering on the surface level. Mm-hmm. It feels like in football more, you might get into great detail about coverages or play calling. But in basketball, especially in the NBA, there are times where, yeah, your head's spinning, but, you know, not. It's just not as much the conversation or production meetings. I do recall one, this is probably 7 or 8 years ago, I was working with the great Doug Collins and we were doing a Miami game and Doug and Eric Spoelstra were talking and it sounded like they were speaking a different language. And I remember afterwards, because in the meeting, like Eric was shocked at Doug's diagnosis of something and Doug had figured out something that the opponents of the Miami Heat hadn't figured out. And I remember Spo afterwards came up to me after the meeting and he goes, Doug's not going to say anything about that on the air, right? Because basically Spo said, okay, off the record.
Right.
Like Doug had figured out something that they were doing. And Spo's like, well, off the record, here's what we do. Just don't say that on the air. And Spo's like, how did Doug know that? I'm like, the guy's a genius. I don't know. He's, you know, in a brilliant basketball mind. But it was really interesting that, you know, other teams had not figured out. And it's something like in the NBA, I mean, you know, how much really is unknown or shocking that teams do? I mean, you play each other so many times, there's so many games, you know, there's only so much you can do. But that was one instance I remember where I was like, wow, you know, it just reminds you how much, you know, you think you know, but then you come out of some, you know, come out of a meeting and you're like, well, I know nothing.
There were the blaring headlines over the weekend in Golden State when Steve Kerr rolled a lineup out for about 4 minutes. Like the game was completely reinvented with a peach basket, and we're going to see it, you know, later on here. And But I'm fascinated, as I know the audience is, by just the process. Dave Pasch with us. Before I get you out of here, off season for the Arizona Cardinals, what do you make out of it so far?
I know a lot of people are concerned based on not having a big splash signing. But I think, you know, I've talked to several people about this. And, you know, I mentioned Hubie Brown earlier. It's a story I've told a number of times. Hubie tells a great story of back 50 years ago. He's an assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an older Oscar Robertson, and they had won the championship, I think, the year prior. They lose maybe in the conference finals. And so afterwards, the GM, Hubie, who was the assistant, back then you had one assistant. You didn't have this whole, you know, bench of assistant coaches and analytics people. You had one. And Hubie and Larry Costello, the head coach and the GM, they go to Vegas afterwards, basically. No family, no one else. Let's the three of us sit down and decide what to do next. And the first day they met, they had decided that everybody except Kareem was gone. They were gutting the roster. Well, after meeting for 3 or 4 days, by the time they were done, they traded nobody. The point was they were close. They knew they were close. So why blow it up? I mean, let's make sure we take care of what the people we have and what we like internally. And we think we're pretty good. I think the Cardinals looked at it the same way, Brad, that they were 7-0, they were 10-2. Their priorities that were currently on the roster, they needed to take care of. And they did that. You look at the re-signings. Those are players that were priorities. Colt McCoy is a big priority as a backup quarterback and a mentor to Kyler. Zach Ertz, James Conner. And then, okay, you still have another wave coming of free agents. You're going to have, obviously, the draft. And then, you know, as you get closer to camp, there'll be casualties. So they're not done looking externally. But I also think they felt, you know what, we can line up 22 guys. And based on what happened the second half of last year, you know, we still feel pretty good about our roster. So I wasn't really that surprised. You know, they already blew things up. I mean, they already cleaned house. You know, that was 3-4 years ago. You know, they moved on from a coaching staff after 1 year. They moved on from a quarterback after 1 year. And the team has gotten better each year over the last 3 years. So there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to overspend or try to keep, you know, they're, you know, Chandler Jones, for example, the money you had to pay. Now, it's a position you have to fill, and they have not filled that yet. Right, and that, you know, maybe easier said than done. But, you know, how much, as you look at the impact of winning that Chandler Jones had, okay, great numbers, but did he impact winning enough where, okay, we got to make sure we spend all this money here that might hurt us elsewhere? And I think those were all things that were discussed. And eventually they came to the decision that no, it didn't impact winning enough where we can't find other ways to generate a pass rush or to win games defensively with either what we have or what we can do through the draft or free agency at that position or on the defensive line.
Yeah, and the team photo changes every year. So, you know, the Chase Edmonds and Christian Kirk, I totally got both those, and I'm happy for both of them. Now, that's just business in the National Football League. I think because Kyler and his agent, which is a lot of stuff in April, and we'll see what it looks like in August, fans have been so fixated on that that it's just kind of the, okay, well, that's going on right now, and these guys are leaving, and it's kind of a trickle-down effect, if that makes sense, with the fan base.
It does. I think, you know, look, Kyler needed to play better the second half of the season and did not play well in the playoffs. So, you know, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get hurt and Kyler Murray plays better, I think, you know, ultimately when you look at, you know, you evaluate how a season went, it starts and stops with the quarterback. And Kyler played great for a while and then didn't play great down the stretch. And but there's still time here, too. And that's the thing. I know, you know, a lot of people are like, OK, well, what's going to happen? And there's these articles. Oh, is Kyler going to be traded? It's only April. I mean, a lot of times these extensions and these decisions get made in the middle of the summer. I mean, we're still really early on. And a lot of this is, you know, posturing by his part and, you know, the agent trying to get a deal done or trying to get things done through the media. I mean, this is not new. So I'm not overreacting. I think a lot of this is going to be solved this summer.
Yeah, and I think you and I are in the same boat. I do find it distasteful in 2022 that an agent has to be so much trying to use media to get his point across. But that's, you know,
I don't know if it's distasteful. I mean, it's he's doing his job, and you know, however you do your job to get the best deal for your client, it's not surprising. I don't think it wasn't going to get a deal done sooner. I don't think.
No. No.
But I think, you know, he's doing what he feels is the right way to go about doing things as an agent. Who knows if that's coming from him? I mean, you know, who knows, you know, Kyler's family, you never know sometimes with players' families, you know, their involvement of what they want the agent to do. So you don't know if a player's doing something based on the agent or if an agent's doing something based on a player or the player's family, who knows. But again, this is all about negotiating, and it's not personal. It's part of the business. We see it all the time. And again, I think the extensions of Cliff and Steve, if I'm Kyler, I'm encouraged by those extensions because I think all three are kind of tied together.
Right, right. Oh, I'd agree with you on that. All right, before I get you out of here, the podcast. So when we talked last September, I may have seen you at a game. It's like, this is cool. And you're like, oh, we'll see. It's maybe a football thing. You're doing this now. It's part of your thing, it looks like, right? Or not?
Yeah, I mean, we're you know, I think 28 episodes now we've done.
Good.
It's fun. It's different. It's unique. I think it's unique. I mean, we aren't doing just Cardinals. We've had on probably five or six basketball guests. We've had on Frank Caliendo. We had James Rodde, the actor, on. I mean, we've had, you know, it's not just Cardinals. It's not just NFL. We do try to tie football in there. You know, we had Mikal Bridges on after the Rams won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Mikal is a big Rams fan. And obviously he and Cam Johnson, that was the lemonade stand, and they went to the Super Bowl together. You know, so you learn some things about people through that. I'm enjoying the conversations. You know, the podcast thing is really, really hard. I mean, there's just so many of them and out there. So how do you make it different? You know, some of it just takes time and building an audience. And, you know, hopefully we're doing that. I mean, we're not doing it every week. In season, we'll do it every week. But, you know, I'm enjoying the, you know, the interviewing of the guests, and, you know, hopefully people are as well.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I mean, I've been at this for 10 years, and yeah, finding the audience, and you don't get too high off numbers, you don't get too low off numbers. You know,
right.
It's like, what the heck happened? Good stuff. Safe travels throughout the postseason, Dave. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thanks, man.
There's Dave Pasch, ABC, ESPN, voice of the Arizona Cardinals, Dave Pasch Podcast. Back with more after this timeout.